Beacon Friends! I am your host, Jason Hickey, and with me is Ensign Scott Davis.
I'm an ensign now.
You're an ensign because this rewatch is in its baby stages, so you're a baby officer.
Fine. As long as I'm not just a cadet.
I could have done that, but I'm a nice person, Scott.
No, you could have done that, but it's not because you're a nice person, it's because you forgot.
Yeah, well.
That's why there was the gasp of...
I say, I can't call you a non-com because one of my favorite Star Trek characters is a non-com, so that's not exactly an insult.
So you're saying you don't like me?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if I'm going to give you a rank, it's probably going to be insulting.
So we're starting off with Enterprise Season 1.
Yes.
2001. This is very episodic. There was an overarching story throughout the season.
Yeah, the episodes can be watched in almost any order, but there's usually a little something that they will reference back to.
Yes. Now, we're going to start off with Broken Bow, which pretty much takes up, what was it, like 80 years after First Contact?
Yeah, 80 to 90 years, yeah.
Yeah. So, and we do see Cochrane.
Yes. Now, I will point out, this is a continuation of something that all the Trek shows up until the new Trek had done, in that every new show had a cast member from one of the previous shows introduced it in the first episode.
Okay.
And in this one, because of the timeline shenanigans, it was Zefram Cochrane played by the guy.
Played by the guy.
The guy. The guy whose name is escaping me. But yes.
Okay. So the guy's name.
James Cromwell.
Is James Cromwell.
Ha ha. I remembered before Scott told me.
And I'm going to edit it so that it makes it sound like you didn't think of it at all.
That's fine because it did completely leave my brain. But anyway. Just wanted to throw that out there, that's a common theme you'll see in spinoffs of Trek.
Okay. Now, within Broken Bow, the big thing was a Klingon follows onto our planet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's being chased by some aliens we've never seen before, which are called the Sulaban.
Yes.
Now, I say we've never seen before because we've never seen Klingons before, you know, either. But in Trek culture, up until this point in 2001, we didn't see.
Right. Because this is the fifth Star Trek show that aired.
Mm-hmm. So, first visit of a Klingon, and he's being attacked, and he needs to escape, or he gets injured. So after he gets injured, he gets brought to a Starfleet medical facility, where he's being treated by a Denobulan doctor.
Another species that we really had not seen before.
Yes. At the same time, they call in Captain Jonathan Archer, who is getting ready for his initial voyage, or wants to get ready for his initial voyage, but the Vulcans keep on saying no.
That's another common theme you'll see. Vulcans are a-holes.
Yes. And what happens here is Archer pretty much says, hey, he landed in our backyard. We're going to bring him back to Klingon because it's our backyard and we actually have a ship that can do it, that we can be able to get to Warp 5. If you actually helped us, we would have been able to get Warp 5 earlier, but you didn't help us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something they keep on bringing up over and over again that they're not helping. But because you didn't help us at all, it took us an additional 50 years.
Pretty much.
But they have a Warp 5 vessel, and this is where we meet the crew.
What are your initial thoughts on the crew?
So, Hoshi initially irritates me.
Okay.
I get into her a little later on, but she, you know, she's a linguist, and she's an amazing linguist. She can be able to learn so many languages, like in seconds flat.
Yeah. She's very good at what she does.
She's very good at what she does. But the first three episodes, or first four episodes, she's like, I don't know if I want to be here. I don't know. She's just so whiny.
Yeah. She's more afraid of space than McCoy.
Yeah. She gets a little better later on, but that initial four episodes of, it was grating.
It's understandable.
Our next officer I'm going to talk about is actually Ensign. He's Ensign Mayweather.
Okay.
He's a boomer. Now, boomers are not baby boomers. You know, but they what they are boomers are people that grew up and were born on warp capable ships, because warp ships were able to travel and do shipping runs and things like that, but they were only like up to warp 3 maybe.
Yeah, like the good ones were warp 3, so it took a long time.
It took a long time. But Mayweather's decent. I would say he's great. He was I think he was more of a standout in this season than say Hoshi was, as a better character within it. But he was, you know, very pigeonholed, as in he's the pilot.
Pretty much.
And you don't really see much of that. Next officer is Tactical.
Okay.
Malcolm Reed. And he seems so snotty.
Yes.
Oh, so snotty. And there's a later episode that I'll bring into how even worse it was, you know, for him. But, you know, he was very standoffish in the beginning. He opened up a little more after a certain incident, which we'll go into a little later.
Yeah.
But yeah,
he's pretty arrogant though.
Pretty arrogant. Next, we have the doctor, Dr. Phlox.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Starfleet officer, just a doctor. He's hilarious. I love him. When their episode is basically just about him, those are almost the best episodes.
Yes. Phlox is one of the best characters to come out of this show.
Then we have Trip, or Tucker. Charles Tucker III, or, you know, as I said, Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is, like, as smart as Geordi LaForge.
Yes.
But he doesn't like to show it.
No.
And he's almost like Scotty, as in he's so smart, but he wants to, you know, always, you know, downplay everything.
Right.
And he's pretty cool. He's pretty good. He's a good character. The problem with him, though, is he's like Kirk in the fact that he would sleep with anyone.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Now, I will spill the beans on this. He's probably my favorite character on the show.
Okay. And then we have the two commanding officers. We're going to go with T'Pol. T'Pol is the Vulcan sub-commander. She is the science officer on the ship. And she, you know, she's a Vulcan.
She's a Vulcan, and she obviously doesn't want to be there.
No, not at all. I mean, she doesn't want to try anything, do anything. I mean, she does open up slightly throughout the season, but not so much. And then finally, we have the head of the ship, and that is Porthos. I'm sorry.
Porthos is a very important character.
Porthos is the dog of Captain Archer. But no, the head of the ship is Captain Archer.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Jonathan Archer. His father was the man that invented the Warp 5 vessel. The Warp 5 engine. And that comes up so much.
Yes.
And it's like...
They kind of beat it to death.
Yeah. And it was sort of like, hey... Your father was the Warp 5, you know, guy. You're going to become the first captain then. Like, it's. I know they kind of said it wasn't that way, but it kind of seemed that way now, in the beginning.
I will say that is resolved in a later episode,
mm-hmm.
where you see the actual events that led him to be being named the captain.
Yeah.
And I understand his bringing up his father a lot.
Yeah.
Because his whole thing was, like you said, if the Vulcans would have helped, we would have done this a long time ago. And maybe my father would have been able to see it.
Yeah. But I'm just saying it's just,
it's overstated.
It's overstated, and because of the overstatement within it, it makes it seem like he only became the captain because of that.
Yeah, I can. All right, I'll go along with that.
Okay, because we don't see that episode until I think it was like episode season 3, maybe.
It's much later.
Yeah. So Broken Bow, Fight or Flight is the NX-01 Enterprise going to Kronos.
Kronos, yes.
And they are then attacked by the Suliban, who are actually engineered creatures.
Yes.
I'm not saying that they are just Suliban, they are engineered creatures, because we do meet actual Sulibans later that are not engineered.
Right.
And the Suliban are taking orders from someone in the future.
The storyline has some controversy in Trek circles.
Yeah, well, that's where the basing overarching story begins. You know, because it does have the story of the future man telling the Suliban, do this for me and then I will give you augmentations.
Yeah, essentially.
Well, they eventually get the guy to Kronos, and he is then welcomed back, unlike normal Klingons. They don't normally welcome people anyways. and they let the crew of the Enterprise live.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that was the first two episodes, Broken Bow and Fight or Flight.
Was that Fight or Flight?
Oh, no, there's just Broken Bow. Sorry.
Yeah, Broken Bow was a two-parter.
Yeah, I am sorry. Next, we have Fight or Flight. And just remember, the ship was not ready to be shipped off yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They definitely left dock before they probably should have.
And so one of the things is they're just lollygagging around. They listen to comm signals. If there's anything out there, we want to go look at it. We want to go there. And
yeah.
They don't have the prime directive yet.
They don't have the prime directive. They don't really have any standing mission orders. They're just out there looking.
And so what happens is on Fight or Flight, they find a derelict cargo ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they land on the cargo. They go to the cargo ship. Hoshi and the captain go there. And I think... maybe Mayweather as well. I don't remember exactly who. But anyways, Hoshi and the captain did. And when they were going through, they were looking through. No one, they got no response. No one was there. So looking around, and all of a sudden, they see a bunch of dead people hanging on the shelf, up in the rafters, and they're being fed to a machine.
cool.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy. Hoshi is now completely scared, and this is what I'm saying. It's, you know, kind of grating from her.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to be there. And there was also like a minor subplot about some other alien bug.
But
okay. It was pretty much trying to correlate that the alien bug was like Hoshi, that the alien bug does maybe not be able to survive out of its own environment.
Ah, okay. Watch it or skip it?
It's skip.
Okay.
Next, we have Strange New World, not the new show. It's an episode, Strange New World. And, well, Archer has an away team. They go to another planet. Lots and lots of forest. Lots and lots of, you know, all normally it's like you have planets are always just like one biosphere.
Yeah.
And so they go to the planet, and when they get there, Tucker and Mayweather, I think it was Mayweather, yeah. Tucker and Mayweather, they wanted to camp for the night, whereas T'Pol wanted, and a couple of their crewmen were going to go do some surveys.
Sure.
And Captain said, sure, go ahead, I'm going to go back to the ship. So they go back to the ship, and then all of a sudden there was a little storm that was started brewing, and then everyone started hallucinating. And Trip thought that there were these shadow figures that T'Pol was working with to kill the crew of the Enterprise.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it was all hallucination. T'Pol was, it took her some time to start getting the psychoactive, you know, whatever. But this was also the first time that they used the Energizer.
Oh, the transporter?
Yeah, the transporter. So one of the crewmen was stuck outside in the middle of the storm, and he was so freaked out that he wouldn't go back to the cave that everyone else was in. And so they used the transporter for the first time to transport an actual person, and it did not work well. So when they transported him up, there was like leaves and branches and everything like swirling around him at the same time too.
Yeah.
And when he rematerialized with trees and branches and stuff sticking out of him.
Yeah.
So
not quite ready for human trials yet.
Yeah, it wasn't there yet. They just had to wait the time, and after that, it was a decent episode. I think that was actually a decent one to watch.
Yeah.
Next we have is Unexpected. Yeah, I don't know. I know it's really a Star's Trip, but this is like sort of a skip one for me.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Unexpected is they come across on the ship. Ship is actually in the wake and actually distorting their way their flight, and they then have Trip go over to repair the issue. The alien have a different biosphere inside of the ship, so Trip had to stay in some time to, you know, get stuff ready.
Right.
And this is where I'm going to give some problems with two, and I'll talk to you about it in a moment.
Okay.
So Trip had to wait in there for about, like, 3 hours before he could be able to get out to go to the biosphere. Then he goes out, Stash does the repair, meets up with some, you know, the engineer lady, and, you know, she then touches him, and they do a little holographic play in a pool of sand. And then he goes back to the ship of Enterprise. He waited another 3 hours. After that, he goes back to the ship. And then they find out Trip's pregnant. Yes, Trip, the man, is pregnant.
So great.
And so, okay, fine, whatever. They then have to go and find out of the ship to see what's happening, what was going on, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So they go back to find it, and they see that there was another ship, a Klingon ship, that was having the same wake issue that the Enterprise was having. And so, oh, well, we know what's going on is because of that thing. So then the Klingons say, well, we're just going to kill them. It's like, no, don't do that.
Sounds Klingon.
Yeah. And so then they're like, we're going to go over and we'll see what we can do. So they all then, so Trip and then two other Klingons go over there, and they say they waited the 3 hours. They go, fine. They waited the 3 hours in there because they were, you know, making fun of the Klingon stink. Whatever. But here's the thing. When Trip got out the first time, he couldn't do anything for like another 6 hours. He had to actually take a nap. He had to go to sleep and get himself rejuvenated.
Okay.
I understand if Trip himself was able to get out of the chamber, mm-hmm, and not be able to have any issues right away, because he's already handled it and he's done it before, and his body would be able to work with it. But no, the Klingons come out, no issues whatsoever.
Oh. So Klingons, they're more resilient.
They make up one issue and they don't follow through with it.
I'm going to go with the Klingons are more resilient.
I'm just going with they just...
Continuity error?
It's continuity
error. Probably.
Next is Terra Nova. This one, actually, I liked.
I really like this one, actually.
And it stars... I don't say stars, but it, you know, guest stars Eric Avari, mm-hmm, who is... I mean, he's in everything.
He really is.
We recognize him from Stargate.
Right. I think that's the thing that immediately comes to my mind when I see him, because I think that was the first thing I ever saw him in.
Okay. But Terra Nova is, there was a colony called Terra Nova. And, you know, it was a mysterious colony. No one's ever heard from them in the past. You know, what?
Yeah, because they haven't been able to get out there. And
yeah, because it takes forever to get to that location. And, well, so they finally, they were like, well, we got a Warp 5 ship. We can go there. So they go there. And when they go there, like, the everything was barren. Gone. But then they run into some people that live underground. Well, these people that live underground are actually the descendants of those colonists. But what happened was there was like a poison cloud that happened, that it was a poison rain,
right?
And it killed anyone that was like over the age of 5 or 6.
Okay.
And that's, you know, so it killed all the adult colonists, and we have then just a bunch of childlike adults living in the caves. It was pretty cool. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
It was a good one.
Yeah. Next episode is a watch. It is a must watch. It is the first episode you get the Endurance, hence the name, the Andorian Incident.
Yes. And not just the Andorians. You get Shran.
You get Shran, yes. And Jeffrey Combs, who plays Shran, he plays a couple of characters throughout a lot of different Star Trek.
I think the last count was 9 or 10 separate characters he's played.
So it's just, it was good to have him have a solid character for a while.
Yeah.
Pretty much, they go to, they're you know, around a Vulcan monastery that's called Pajem. And Archer's like, hey, can we go visit them? And T'Pol's like, no, you shouldn't do that. It's just not right. They're just monks.
Right.
But us people of Earth, we like to visit things.
Yeah.
Even monks.
And the thing is, I think Archer did this because she told him no. He's like, well, screw you. We're going to go anyway.
Pretty much. And you see that a lot with between Archer and T'Pol. It's like, T'Pol will say something. Archer's just like, screw you.
Yeah. They definitely do not have the Kirk-Spock relationship. They're contentious.
Yeah. So they go there, and but right before they arrive, there was some Andorians that went there, and they go and they sack the place, thinking that the Epigem is doing something wrong. The monks are saying, we're doing nothing. And when the Earthlings get there, they have some ceremony, and they're trying to rush the Earthlings out, and Archer then sees the shadow of an Andoran. So then they, you know, jump the Andoran, and they destroy a couple of things. And yeah, no, this is actually, it was a good episode.
Yeah, I really like this one.
Yeah. In the end, it came out that, the Andorians are right.
Yep.
The Pajem was actually housing, like, underneath a whole technology listening post on Andoria. It was good, though.
Oh, yeah.
Liked it. Next, we have Breaking the Ice. This one I didn't. They find a comet. They want to get some materials off the comet. I mean, Armageddon happens, you know, things happen on the comet. It's not very, whatever.
It's not memorable.
No. Next, civilization. They go looking at other planets, but this planet that they go to, they're not warp capable.
Right.
And so T'Pol says, we normally don't go down to a place and try to show ourselves.
Right.
You know?
And it's the reason they didn't go to Earth until the warp ship
flew. Well, Archer doesn't care.
Yeah.
But he says what he will do is he'll wear makeup.
Okay.
So they will look like the civilization that was there.
I'm sure there's zero ramifications for this.
Yes. Well, what happened was they found some neutrino readings. You know, techno babble.
Blah, yes, blah, blah. Yes.
they found some techno babble, blah, blah, blah. And they were trying to go find out what was happening there. And, well, there was another alien race that was there that was poisoning everyone.
Yeah.
And so Archer and one of the civilization people there, you know, working together, and he does not have the prime directive instinct at all.
No.
He tells them everything right away. It's funny. I liked it. It was a good episode.
It's a good episode, and I like it because one of the things about this show is that Archer makes mistakes.
A lot of them.
And some of them come back to bite him. He's not the perfect captain, and I don't know. I think he's got staying power because of it.
Yeah. Next, we have Fortunate Son. You're seeing another cargo ship.
Mm-hmm.
It has an issue. It's a Mayweather, you know, it's a Mayweather-centric episode because it deals with
the boomers.
The boomers. I mean, for lore purpose, it's necessary.
Right.
So because it expands the lore quite a bit from this episode a lot. Entertainment-wise, not so much.
Yeah, it's all right. I think the best thing about it is it reintroduces the Nausicaans,
mm-hmm.
which you really only saw in one episode of TNG.
Yeah. Yeah, but you see where you get I'm saying? Like lore purpose, it does have some lore there that you need.
Scott, I'm going to let you know this now. I don't really love any of the Mayweather episodes.
I figured.
Because I don't really like Mayweather all that much.
I know. next we have is Cold Front. So remember the Suliban?
Yes.
That we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Slubin were then told, hey, you need to go and infiltrate to do some special thingy thing to happen for Archer.
Yeah.
Well, okay, sure. And so he gets a disguise and goes to this phenomena that was happening
right.
in space. And we also then meet some guy named Daniels.
Yes.
Who's like, he's like a server. I mean, literally, that's what his job is. His job is to serve the captain drinks and stuff like that. Yeah, he's a yeoman. And, well, Daniels is actually from the future.
Yes, from the 27th?
I don't remember.
27th or 29th century.
Yeah. And, well, so Daniels then tells Archer that he's from the future, which I would think that's completely against your rules.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah, but no. This show just throws rules on the air and say, skeet.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, this episode is a must-watch for the story because it's a layover for the story to going forward. And also because it sets up the next episode,
mm-hmm.
which is very important for the story.
Yes.
And the next episode is Silent Enemy. And what happens is they are being attacked by invisible Suluban ships.
Yes.
And they have to go, and so then they're going to follow those ships and going to the hive colony for the Suluban and attacking them. And yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. So this is it's not a two-parter directly, but it's sort of because it flows right into each other.
Right.
Next is a great episode.
Now, why do you think it's great, Scott?
Because it has Dr. Phlox as the lead. Dr. Phlox's episode is amazing.
Yeah.
I love Phlox.
Phlox is great.
Yeah. Your top is Trip. My top is Phlox.
And honestly, my second is Phlox. So.
Yeah. So my second actually is T'Pol.
That's fair.
And third is Trip. And fourth is Archer.
Okay.
But my top is, top is Phlox.
Phlox is great. He's very different from any of the doctors you've had in any other Star Trek
show. Yes. And I mean, it's just the fact that he wants to learn. He's loving the education he's getting.
Yeah.
And the interactions with, aliens.
Yeah.
To him, humans are aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And, he's loving, what he's doing. But this is also where it comes to the fact of he learned that there were two races that were living on the planet, like pretty much like Neanderthals and humans. If they were, evolved at the same time. Well, there was two races, and one race is dying out, because they're genetically, falling apart, but they're the smarter race.
Mm.
The dumber race, or the one that really hasn't as evolved intellectually enough, it is going to become the dominant race. And he could either take genes from the lower race to fix and help the current dominant race, but it's not what he knows that's not what nature's supposed to do.
Right.
And it's not his decision, it's the captain's. So he's trying to convince the captain what the right thing to do. And this is where we get some information about where the Prime Directive comes from. And that's one of the better episodes.
Yeah. So not just because it has Phlox as the lead.
No, because it has Phlox as lead. I mean, I've given you some lore episodes that I said, But I'm saying this is Phlox episode, which is, you have to.
Yes. I'll go along with that. Phlox is great.
Next is Sleeping Dogs. Hey, there's a Klingon ship that's stuck inside of a gas giant.
Yeah.
That's becoming a black hole. What do we do? Well, we're going to go help them because that's what we do. And well, then when they go down there, then there was actually one Klingon that was still awake and she started to attack them and stole their shuttle pod. They don't use the transporter, so that's why everything's by a shuttle pod.
Yeah. It was one of the mildly unique things the show did.
Yeah. It was a pretty good episode. I wouldn't say it's great. Definitely something you could watch. You don't have to. But the next one is a you have to watch. Actually, the next two are you have to watch. So next one is Shadows of Pajem. This is just the follow of what happened there. It continues the story of Shram. Just watch it.
Yes.
They were going to recall T'Pol because of Pajem,
mm-hmm.
but they kind of blackmailed the Vulcan High Command, so that didn't happen. It was pretty good. I liked it though.
Yeah.
Next is Shuttle Pod 1. This is also a must watch, and this is pretty much it's not a bottle episode per se because they have two separate things happening.
Right.
But it is you have two crewmen stuck inside of a shuttle pod that they're going to lose air. They have almost no food, and they got hit by a singularity that pierced a hole in the shuttle pod that started losing more air.
Yeah.
So this is actually a Tucker and a
Malcolm,
thank you. It was a Tucker and a Reed episode.
Yeah.
Good episode. I'd say you watch it.
Yeah. You learn a lot more about Reed in this one.
Yes.
It's needed for the, you know, character development.
Yes. Next is Fusion. Skip it. So this is a group of Vulcans that want to get closer to their emotions. Roots. Their roots. And this is also the first time where they use the mind meld for the first time.
Yeah, this was an interesting choice for them to do in the show.
And the mind meld seemed to be, like, rape.
Kind of. And you learn that the Vulcans in this era think that the mind meld is, like, a dirty thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that only, like, dissidents do it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting considering that it's pretty commonplace in later Star Trek series.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not my favorite.
Next we have Rogue Planet. So this is, I mean, it's an episode about hunting.
Yes.
Basically, it's an episode about hunting.
Basically.
They go to a planet that is, that it's a rogue planet, which is a planet that does not revolve around a star.
Right.
Which is why it's named that.
But somehow still has an atmosphere.
It still has an atmosphere, which I have no idea how the hell that could happen.
Science!
Sure. And so they meet up with some other aliens that go to this planet and they hunt. What do they hunt? Well, they hunt some shape-shifting thing.
Yeah.
And the shape-shifting thing could actually talk to you through your mind, and it made Jonathan Archer see a woman.
Yes.
Very beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was very confusing.
Yes.
Decent episode.
Oh, yeah.
But very confusing. But the next episode is a must-watch.
I agree. Especially because of the guest stars in it.
Well, it has Jeffrey Combs.
And not only Jeffrey Combs. It has Clint Howard.
It has Clint Howard, yes. And it has Ethan Phillips.
Yes, it does.
And these three, so we did say that Combs was before playing an Andoran. Well, in this episode, he's actually playing the Ferengi.
Yes.
So we have three Ferengi, or four Ferengi, actually.
Yeah. And it's actually episode. Jeffrey Combs' second Ferengi, because he played one in Deep Space Nine also.
Yes. Well, we haven't seen that yet, though.
Yes, good point. He hasn't done anything.
But what happens is, this is the Ferengi's introduction to the Star Trek universe, but we never get the name the Ferengi.
Right.
They never say that the Ferengi or what.
The show really tries to skirt the line in some of this stuff where we met this species, but then it's never referenced until you meet them again in a later show.
Yes.
So,
I mean, they knock everyone out with some knockout gas or something, mm-hmm. but because Trip was inside of a, some sort of, so they have this thing in the ship for decontamination.
Yeah.
Where you get to see the characters pretty much in their underwear.
Yeah, lots of half-naked people in that.
So in this show, there's a lot of half-naked people in this show.
Yes.
I mean, there's just times where you have, like Trip, like normally the guys, they're like arching over, they're just like, oh, whatever, I'm just, you know, getting clean. But normally you have the girls are always arching the back to show their breasts.
Oh, yeah. It's objective.
It's very subjective.
Objectification.
Yeah, yeah. But he was in the decontamination chamber, which is why he didn't get infected with the sleeping gas. And so he was then trying to go around to stop the Ferengi. It was pretty funny. It was a good show. Good introduction to the Ferengi.
Yeah.
I liked this episode.
Comedy diehard. Good stuff.
I liked the episode. Okay, so the next we have is Oasis. Well, they find a plant. They find a planet. It looks pretty good. And there was a distress call from a ship. And so they go down to the ship to see what was happening with the distress call. And no one's there.
Mm-hmm.
Try and look around, and they see like shadow things happening. Like things are popping in and out. Well, this is pretty much, the ship is actually being run by holograms.
Mm-hmm.
There's only two real people on this ship. And who is one of the real people that's on the ship? Rene Aubergeon. Rene Aubergeon.
Super French name.
Super French name. He played Odo in DS9.
Yes.
And, well, he's, you know, as grumbly as ever. Great episode. Good return of Rene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that Trip was very horny, sure.
Duh, it's Trip. Trip is the man whore of this show.
Yes, yes, yes. But it was a good one.
Yeah.
So the next is Detained.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is the captain and Mayweather were just doing some random flybys,
mm-hmm.
and they get caught by some other alien.
Yes.
Well, that alien then imprisons them with just a bunch of Suliban.
Right.
Now, remember I said other Suliban were genetically altered? These are just regular Suliban.
Yes. These are Suliban that have nothing to do with the Temporal Cold War.
Yes. And I love this episode only for one reason.
is that reason rhyme with mean small mill?
Dean Stockwell. I've always thought it was Stockton.
Stockwell.
Well, then I am wrong. But yes, Stockwell. Dean Stockwell. I knew it was Dean Stock something.
Yeah.
But it's like this mini Quantum Leap reunion.
Yep.
And I'm like, yay! But he's playing a bad guy.
He played a really good bad guy, though.
Yes. So this episode actually is a must watch anyways, because it does actually follow through with, you know, what was going on at Suliban. They rescued all of the Suliban. They did a huge prison break for this, and the race that Dean Stockwell was from also comes in at a later episode.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent one.
Yeah, so this is a must watch for multiple reasons.
Yes.
The next episode is a skip it. Vox Sola, and this is alien spiderweb that's conscious, takes control of the ship to suck everyone's life.
Yeah.
Unless they bring them to their home planet. The episode is pretty much for Hoshi that she had to learn a language of binary.
It's one of the standalones, and the standalones are really hit or miss.
Yeah.
Especially in the first season.
Yeah. Next is Fallen Hero, must watch.
Mm-hmm.
Great episode. It's about a Vulcan ambassador that was doing some bad things, but actually turned out that she wasn't doing bad things. They're being chased by some bounty hunters.
Yeah.
And it's a good episode. It's a must watch, but
mm-hmm.
the way that T'Pol treated the ambassador, it was great. Just great. You know, showing that T'Pol is growing as a person and not just, you know, sticking in the Vulcan, you know, slot.
She's being infected with, you know, humanity, essentially.
Yeah. Next, we have Desert Crossing.
Mm-hmm.
This is a must-watch, not because of the episode itself, but this is a must-watch because of who is in it.
Yeah.
Who is in this episode, Jason?
It's Clancy Brown. You gotta admit, they killed it on guest stars in this season.
Yeah, they did pretty good. But it's a desert planet. Clancy Brown heard about the escape of that prison planet, so he thought that Archer was this great warrior trying to get him to join the side to help him fight his war.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Liked it. Next is 2 days and two nights. And this is the so for the past, I want to say, prior episodes, they've been trying to go to Ryza.
Yeah.
Just to go relax.
Because they've heard of Ryza.
Yes. So, but they're trying to go to Ryza, and they finally get to Ryza. It's, you know, this is a good episode because it's just fun. You know, things are happening.
Let's just see them at their leisure.
You have a nightclub scene of Trip and Malcolm that get, you know, caught.
Uh-huh.
And we're leaving it there for that one. But this also has that alien race that I told you this Dean Stockwell was from.
Yep.
He had a sleeper agent trying to go there to get all the information that Archer has.
Yeah. Pretty good episode.
Yes. And then we have our final episode, Shockwave Part 1. It's a two-parter. You know how I feel about two-parters.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's going to kill you, isn't it?
It is. So Archer accidentally killed an entire planet, but he didn't. What happened was the Suliban did some genetic altering, threw a little chip on the bottom of the shuttlecraft, and that's what blew the atmosphere of the planet.
Yeah.
And Daniel comes back. Remember that time guy I told you?
Crewman Daniels.
Yes. Yes. Because before he actually died in that previous episode.
Right.
I kind of skipped over that. But Daniels comes back, and well, it was pretty good. This is a good series. It does have a good cliffhanger where Daniels actually takes Archer into the far future.
Yeah.
But because he wasn't supposed to take Archer in the far future is now a barren wasteland.
Yeah.
And now he has no access to be able to bring them back.
Yeah. I like it. I think it's pretty good.
Yes. It was a good episode. The season itself, I would say, it's a decent season. It's a good introduction season.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's like one of the best Star Treks.
No.
But it's a decent one.
I think it's good. It's worth watching. It's got some great characters, even great side characters. Shran is fantastic.
Yes.
Jeffrey Combs kills it as Shran.
And I've already said Phlox is my number one.
So. Phlox is great.
That's our take, or my take at least, on Star Trek Enterprise Season 1.
All right. I'm looking forward to hear what you say of Season 2.
And now for some news.
Good news?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think there's some great news.
Well, what's your favorite of these great news?
I don't know if it's my favorite, but way up there is that recording has already started for season 3 of Lower Decks. Season 2 hasn't even premiered yet, and they are already hard at work on season 3.
Good for them to get ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my favorite piece of news is right now?
What is your favorite piece of news?
Doctor Strange is in the Multiverse of Madness is almost complete. We found out that Elizabeth Olsen has finished shooting for her part in the film.
Excellent.
So, another Marvel movie ready to go.
And this one I'm actually really looking forward to because I enjoyed the first Doctor Strange, and yeah. I really want to see the fallout from WandaVision.
A little sad news, though. Jupiter's Legacy was a one-season-only show on Netflix because it was canceled.
It was definitely canceled.
They spent over $200 million on that show.
Yeah.
Redonkulous.
Uh-huh.
It was a good show. I actually did watch it. I was waiting to see if you watched
it. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. I want to. I mean, it looks interesting.
Yes. But it's been canceled already. But the Miller universe, because Mark Miller is the writer of the Jupiter's Legacy story,
right,
is still going to continue with a spinoff.
Yeah, which is interesting. I'm wondering if they're going to bring back characters.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I think they're saying the storyline of these characters is done. They're not going to go further in, is right. what I'm getting at. But they're still going further on into the universe.
Right. Well, and that may be good for fans, too, because I did read that the first season ended in a cliffhanger, which now apparently there's going to be no resolution.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get some partial resolution in the spinoff.
We could find out. We could tell.
We shall see.
But the first season is about a family.
Okay.
It's a family unit. When you watch it, you understand why.
All right.
And in our final piece of news, Paramount Plus said they're going to be adding 1,000 movies this week.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even see the list, so I don't know, I mean, I saw, like, Skyfall's going to be on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw a bunch of kids' movies, like Sonic the Hedgehog and The Addams Family, and Charlotte's Web is going to be on there. Right. But, I mean, I didn't see the full list.
I've seen a sampling, the same one you're looking at now. And I guess I don't think that Paramount Plus is going to be a top-tier streaming network like Netflix or HBO Max.
But do you know anyone that has it?
I don't.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
And that's the thing. I mean, I don't. But they're making a play for it. I'll give them that. And they actually have a exclusive movie coming out called Infinite that stars Mark Wahlberg and Chitwell Ejiofor, directed by Anton Farouk. I probably butchered half those names, and I apologize, but I'm a filthy American, so sorry. But I mean, they're getting some pretty decent stars and filmmakers, and they're having exclusive movies. So I mean, like I said, I don't know that they're going to make it as big as your Netflix or your HBO Max, but they're making a play for it, and I got to give them that.
That they are. And that has been the news.
It was good news. Well, I have been your Geek Jason.
And I have been your Geek Scott.
Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day.